on that probably should have went on and should have happened, but God, you know, saw fit not to let none of them happen. You know, I went to work this week, and I went to work a couple of times this week. They got us coming in like 2 or 3 times, and you know, I had to have a mask on and all this stuff. And even on our campus, I see that they shut down campuses across our system, but our campus is still open, and we have very few cases. You know, and that's not a testament that we've done things perfectly or whatever, but God knows. God knows we need our school open to be able to pay his employees. We don't have the money of some of the bigger schools or the endowments or whatever, but God just has a way that even in the midst of the pandemic that he can be a blessing. And I'm just grateful that, you know, we pay attention to the things that they tell us to do, you know, and that's not using faith, because faith, you know, faith is what the substance things hope for, yet evidence of things unseen. So I believe that if I do the things, that God is going to protect me. You know, I ask every day, Jesus, be a fence around me every day. You know, that's all we can ask is for his hedge of protection. And what he tells us is that, what, if we give ourselves to him, then what, we become one of his. And if we want of his, then what he's able to do is what? To put us in the sheep of his path. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm already about to preach already. So what happens is now we become what? One of his sheep. And he puts us in that pasture. And when he puts us in that pasture is what? It's a field of protection. So you can choose to leave if you want. But for me and my house, we have chosen to serve the Lord. And then I was reminded when, as I drove down on last week, I was right in front of my building, ready to make a turn. And here comes some person driving like a madman out of control. And they was coming ahead for me. And all I could say was, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And it seemed like the car was going to hit me head on. I was standing, you know, sitting still in the intersection. And somebody was just in a hurry. They just couldn't wait. And they had to, and the car was swerving all over the place. And there was nothing I really could do but call on the blood of Jesus. And I'm here to tell you today that that car didn't hit me. Oh, come on, somebody. It could have been different today. You know, I have family right now who is in the hospital suffering from the coronavirus. I'm praying for his immediate and full recovery. It could have been me. It could have been you. You know, there's others who have lost their lives due to this virus. Some people that you know, a man of God that I was in fellowship with, lost his life to this. So it could be different. But I am grateful that things are as good as they are. I'm grateful to be alive. I'm grateful to have a job. I'm grateful to be able to take care of my family. I'm grateful for the extra family time. Oh, come on, somebody. I don't know about you, but I've gotten to spend more of time with my family because I spent so much time trying to take care of my family, meaning that I'm working and doing all these things that I didn't get the chances and the time to spend with them like I do now. You know, getting to really know my children and their things that they do, and really getting to, you know, say, just continue to grow in relationship with my spouse. Oh, come on, somebody. That these things are a blessing. And I think sometimes, you know, we're so stuck in what we want and how we want to do it that we don't see the blessings of that. You know, I was looking at saying, you know, financially, you know, Lord, I want to be able to do this. I want to be able to do that. And now I find out what? God, you know, God put a stop on student loan bills. Oh, come on, somebody. That ain't something to praise God for. You know, and I know I owe legitimately. I spent the money, and the money helped me to get the things that I need to get. But now the government is what? They're paying me. Y'all tell me God is not a way maker. You know, what do you mean by paying you? That they what? They put the loans, and if you're in one of those forgiveness programs, they count the time towards the loan. That's free payments that I don't have to make. You know, and I saw an article this morning, and I just want to verify to make sure, but it seemed like they're going to now do it all the way through the end of December. So now you're talking about we haven't had to make a loan payment since March. And if y'all have any significant loans that you're paying $500-$600 a month, like your boy, that's a significant saver. So now it's like God has put extra in your hand. No, come on, somebody. God's put extra seed in your hand. Oh, yeah. What are you going to do with it? See, some of us have been asking God for these extras. We've been asking God for these things. And you know what? God does it in ways that we don't expect. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And you, see, some of you are like, well, Lord, when I need it, Lord, I need a little bit more to tide me over. You was expecting God to what? Give you a raise on your job or something. And what did God do? What he did is he eliminated the bill. Are y'all with me? Maybe it's just only a blessing to me. But I think there's some others who are in that pot that it is a financial blessing not to have to be able to make those payments for a while. Amen? Amen. And not lose time. That's the significant part. If I thought I was losing time, I ought to still be paying. I really would. But not to lose time, that is truly a blessing. So we got to be careful, brothers and sisters, that we don't get caught up into this thing of complaining, because that's what the world do. That's what they expect. You know, we complain about this and we complain about that. And you know what? I'm guilty too. And you know, early last year that we had the purple wristbands the, I call them, the, you know, matter of fact, you see them in the background, those purple wristbands at our church, those were called the I won't complain bands. And every time you caught yourself complaining, for those who didn't know, you kind of just kind of put the band just to kind of remind you, hey, look, I'm not going to live a complaint. Because it's so easy for us to complain, especially in a country where we've been so blessed. It's so easy for us to complain. You know, if you got more than one car, matter of fact, if you got a car, do y'all not know and realize that many people don't even have a car? Having a car is really a luxury. We know, because we're in the southeastern part of the United States, a number of us have cars because it's almost like mandatory to have a car to get anywhere you go, because transportation exists, but it's not very reliable or it's not very quick. So most people own a vehicle. But, you know, I got friends up north, most of them don't own vehicles. They walk to their grocery stores and this kind of thing and this kind of stuff and do all these things. They want furniture and stuff. Stuff has to be delivered. Nobody owns a car. So, but if you own a car, how many of you know that God is good? Mm-hmm. How many of you know that God is able? Yeah, we're going to get you some bands. We got some of those bands left. Next time we get together, we're going to pull all that stuff out. Amen. Just to remind us, you know, because it's so easy. But God has been good to us. Good morning, Safe House Church, and to all of its members. And if this is your first time joining us, you can see at the bottom of the screen, you can find us at safehousechurchgso.com. You can also watch this broadcast there where it plays live each and every single Sunday. Also on Wednesday nights where we have tremendous Bible class. Right now, we're in the book of James. Oh, did y'all enjoy yourself on James on Wednesday night? I know you didn't think it was that much in there. And you see, we're going slow. And like I said, I'm not in a rush. It takes whatever time it takes. Why? Because this is the classroom. That's the time where we teach. That's one thing I'm grateful about, the areas that I get to teach in. I don't have these mandates to say, do all this stuff. You know, there are things I want to do. But my job is, number one, to make sure that you really get what it is that you come for, that you walk out of there with personal growth. If you started at A, I want you at level D before you leave. Amen? You know, so the whole point of this is not to be rushed, but it's what? It's to take our time and just really learn the word of God. I know people have been hollering for years. I really want to find a good Bible study. I want to find this. Now I'm telling you, got one. You got one, and you should be telling others about it. They don't have to be members of the Safe House Church. We'd love to have them as members, but if they're not, it's about what? Proclaiming and spreading the word of God. And putting it in a form that it'll bless people and be able to talk about it. So we didn't even get into the first verse because I just want to make sure that we gave what? Remember how we say this? We say content in context equals revelation. Remember that. Always. This works for even just regular life. You can have the content, but if the content is not applied in the right context, then you get bad stuff. But when you take the content and you apply it in the right context, then you are certain to get revelation. Are y'all with me? Amen. So this is, that's what I would call our framework. So our framework and our study is, this is how our study's guide is. Number one, we're working with content. The content comes from the word of God. We're reading the Bible. You know, it's word upon, line upon line and precept upon precept, as my old pastor Kelly used to say. Amen. So then we're going from there to what? Context. See, if you don't have it in the right context, people have you all over the place. You'll be all screwed up on stuff. So context is important. The time, the setting, what was going on. Because people have you believe that all kinds of stuff. You know, people tell me, oh, you know slavery's in the Bible? Yes, it is. I mean, the Hebrews were slaves. My goodness. Well, don't you know in the Bible, you know, I had these Hebrew Israelites try to come to me with that junk. And you know, and they use the stuff all out of context. See, people can take anything they want and twist it the way they want and make it say whatever they want to say. These are our more charismatic speakers, our more charismatic people. That's why you and I as believers, we have to know the word of God for ourselves. If not, you can get caught up in that people, that elegant speech, they print. Yeah, people, do y'all know and not know and understand that there is a science to how you talk to people? This is why, you know, I think Nas put it this way. They say it's one mic. Mm-hmm. One mic. The voice. Martin Luther King changed the whole nation just with his voice. Jesus Christ spoke and changed it with his voice. God created the heavens and earth just with his voice. Think about that for a moment. A voice is a powerful thing. So people can say things. They can convince you and do all kinds of stuff by the way they speak. But what I'm telling you at the end of the day, listen, you hear them, be nice. But verify. You have to verify. That's the key. Verification. You know, if they're doing all this stuff, verify and see what they say is true. So context is very, very important. Context is critical to what we do. Then what else? Now we move from what? Now you have those two pieces. Now you walk into what? You walk into what? The revelation. Because now the thing that comes out of that, you can trust. Oh, come on, somebody. Are y'all with me? See, if you don't have the, no more, if you don't start out with the content, meaning that truth, if you don't start with that, and then if you don't apply to the right context, then you cannot trust the revelation that comes out of it. You hear me? Because if the content is wrong, that's messed up. If the context is wrong, that's messed up. So now the results of it is going to be messed up. It's no matter however you turn it, however way you put it, it's going to be jacked up from the flow up, as we say. Are you with me? So this is important that we cover in that way. Remember the Safe House Church, we work off three principles. And those three principles is DEA. Discipleship, we're going to teach you. That's what we do. Empowerment, we're going to put you in position. We're going to empower you. We're going to encourage you to go out there and do what it is God has told you to do. And then what? A, accountability. We're going to hold you accountable. I know this cuss word for folks, accountability. And it's important that we are held accountable for our actions, both good and bad. I'm not sitting here telling you as a person who's done everything right. I'm not telling you as a person here who dotted every I and crossed every T. But I am to be held accountable to. Nobody's above the law. Nobody is above the word of God. Amen. So I got those preliminaries out of the way. Let me get a little sip here as we go into the word today. How many of you are just grateful to be alive? Oh, y'all see my Safe House Church? Cup. Oh, that's cool. I don't know about you, but I'm just grateful to be alive and just wonderful. And God's just been a blessing to me all my life, and even more so as we go forward. So I want to go into our subject today. I wanted to, us to turn our Bibles. Hallelujah. We're a Bible-believing church. And see, I got to go ahead and I got to pull this thing over a little bit. Let me see. How bad is it? Amen. Oh, it's already up there. Okay, cool. Let me get this a little bit better for you all. Amen. Amen. We're going to go to Genesis today. Genesis. Find my mouse here. Sometimes my mouse just eludes me. All right, where you at, mouse? Okay. Follow. We want to go to Genesis, let's see. There we go. I want to go to Genesis, the third chapter and verse 15. Genesis 3 and 15 today. I'm grateful to all our visitors. Good morning, Sister Willette. You're a woman of your word. You said you was going to come out and check us out, and I'm grateful that you did. You know, did get to come see us one time. So we got a whole Concord following down there. You know, one day get you and Vernon to catch the Williams up, and you all fellowship. They right down there with you all. Just so grateful to God has just been so good to us, and he just blessed us with people of just integrity and just great people all around the world. And I'm just so grateful for him for blessing us with so many wonderful, wonderful people. Amen. All right, so let's start here. All right, so we are in, there's that mouse again running away. Genesis, I want to read Genesis 3 and 15, and it says this. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Mm-hmm. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Let's read that one more time. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Let's go into a prayer real quickly. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you right now. Lord, we just want to say we thank you, Lord. Lord, I ask that you, Lord, even though this one verse today, Lord Jesus, that it be a powerful lesson to your people, oh God, Lord Jesus, that they take the word of God, Lord Jesus, that they absorb it, Lord Jesus, and apply it to their lives, oh God, that they take the content of this, Lord Jesus, from the context, oh God, and get revelation, oh God. Lord, allow your spirit, Lord Jesus, to quicken them, oh God, Lord Jesus, touch them from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. Any who are watching live, Lord Jesus, or those who will come later, Lord, strengthen them, keep them, holding the palm of thy hand like only you can. And we ask you to do all these things and others in Jesus' name, for we know this, and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. All right, good morning, brothers and sisters. So our verse for today, like I said, we in Genesis like I said, Genesis 3 and 15. And we saw here in Genesis 3 and 15, the context of what was really going on here. And what was going on here, this is when Satan had finally came in and he deceived Eve. And many of you know the story. This is in the first couple of chapters of the Bible, as you can see here. And Eve was deceived, and this is now the punishment. And this is where he comes in and he tells Eve in childbirth where she consider where she have pain and all these kind of things that, you know, that's coming on here. And what we find is that here he makes some promises and he curses the serpent. The serpent. Remember before time, the serpent was able to walk around and he was able to speak. Oh, yeah. He was able to walk around and speak. We even have scientific evidence to confirm that. You know, like I tell people all the time, I don't believe the Bible's mystical at all. We have scientific evidence that proves it over and over and over again. And one of the things is that they that scientists already have evidence that snakes used to have legs. Mm-hmm. They had feet. They could walk upright. I kid you not. You all know, I tell you all, you ain't got to believe me. Go search it for yourself. As we say, Google it. Or go ask Jeeves or whatever you want to do. Dog pile. Go find your own search engine and you go look it up for yourself. But snakes indeed could walk upright. Mm-hmm. And our Bible, what tells us that Satan was walking up to them and he was speaking with them. And part of the curse of the serpent was that he could not longer do that. And the Bible says that what? If you read a little bit further, that he would, if you read above that, it said that he would be on his belly and he should be upon the ground. And then he should, you know, and he should eat what? Dust all the days of his life. What do you mean by dust? Well, if you know anything about snakes and serpents, what do? They eat from off the ground. They eat rodents and things or what? They're dirty, that walk on the ground. So these are things that are always on the ground, and they're eating what? From the dirt of the ground. And that's even true to this very day, okay? So now with all of this, then he goes and he tells you, put intimacy. Intimacy means what? Here it means blood. This is a blood feud. How many of you know that what we're dealing with is a blood issue? You know, when we look at the pandemic and we look at all the different things that you and I have gone through, these are what? Issues of the blood. What do you mean issues of the blood? Not of the blood. I mean, you know, so to speak, like, you know, blood is running in your body, but it's the blood of Christ. Oh, come on. I'm not going to get ahead of myself. It's the blood of Christ. So this is a blood issue. And he says that her what? That he will put intimacy between them two. What? A feud between these two. They're not going to like each other. You know, one of the worst feuds you can see is between families. Remember, they used to have these feuds out in Kentucky. I can't remember them now. I was about to say their name. They had these family, the Hatfields and the McCoys. That's where they were. The Hatfields and McCoys, and these families feud for generations. They just each hated each other, and Lord knows who, why. I don't even think they really even know why, right? And the feud was, you know, when it's a blood feud, when people buy into this thing, and when they believe a certain thing, and they continue to walk in a certain thing, that these things continue to get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger until we get to a point that where we see what we see. And then he tells her what, that he's going to put that between her seed and thou seed. Thou seed what? The seed of Satan. So Satan here is equated to the serpent. So he's talking about the seed of Satan. The seed of Satan. Who is the seed of Satan? Well, biblically, Satan does not have any children, but yet he has a house full of children. What do you mean? If you don't belong to God, then you automatically belong to Satan. Because what? You and I, the Bible reminds us that we were born into sin because of what Adam and Eve did. They failed first. So when they failed, now that we took on the sinful nature, we took on the sinful nature from them. So if you were born of a woman and you came into this earth, then you are sinful nature until you go through the redemption process. And we call it being saved. Mm-hmm. Because what do you mean saved? See, it's interesting that they call it saved. Why? Because you're being saved from eternal damnation. You're being saved from yourself. You've been saved from wickedness. You're being saved from certain death. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, yeah. So now, am I teaching good this morning? Are we getting this? So these things, this is where all this stuff comes from. I know a lot of times we go to church and we hear all these kind of things and stuff, and people don't know what this stuff means. So it's my job, I believe, that God has put, one of the things he put me in the earth to do is to break it down so it'll be forever broke. That we understand it on this micro, minute level of understanding. So I, number one, I know why I'm in, what I'm in, and what I'm supposed to be doing, and why I am doing what I'm doing, to be able to take that truth that I know and be able to apply it to the right content, the right context. And then from that context, then I'll be able to get revelation to be able to live my life in 2020 from something that happened well over 2,000 years ago. Oh, See what I'm saying? See, people don't realize it. They said, how can a book that was written over 2,000 years ago be able to tell me how to live in 2020? I'm glad you asked, because you take the truth of the book, and after you take the truth of the book, then you realize the context that the book was written in at that particular point in time, and now you apply that to your modern day context, which the context is all going to be similar. We go through similar things. No, I don't walk the dusty streets of Calvary or Judea and all those different places, but you walk the dusty streets of your neighborhood, and people are people. They're still the same. There's nothing new under the sun. Oh, come on, somebody. Are y'all with me this morning? You know, I don't have the church in here, so y'all got to give me some virtual amens, a little type of amen, or I throw up a hand or emoji or something, and let me know that you're getting this morning. So then what happens is, you know, we apply that context to then. You know, the Bible talks about what, that you be chariots with lights. Oh, come on, somebody. They said there would be chariots with lights. Well, last time I looked at it, I have a chariot. We call it a car. And my car has lights on it. And my car is for what? Transportation. See what I'm talking about? Content. That's true. Uh-huh. Now, it's in the context of 2020, is that a chariot is a car. You know, where does a car come from? Car comes from what? Automobile. Automobile, what? Auto meaning what? Self-running. So what, a car is what? Short for carriage. Come on, y'all gonna learn something today. A car is short for carriage. Did you know that? Yeah. So since a car is short for carriage, then what? An automobile is nothing but what? A carriage that's being self-ran. They don't need horses to do it. So all a chariot was what? Their form of transportation. It was their car. And now you and I, with our ingenuity and us and what we think is smart about it, now we have cars that run themselves. That's why we call engines, they call it what? Horsepower. Y'all didn't know y'all was gonna get this today. It's called horsepower, right? Why did they pick horsepower as the unit that they want to be able to measure the energy by? Because they equated it to the horses. And a horse could produce that much a unit. So if they got 500 horsepower, it was the equivalent of you running 500 horses at one time. See, that's what I like about the Safe House Church. Because we got people here that absorb. I know God has blessed us. Many of us have degrees in this kind of stuff. So that's why my style of teaching and preaching works well. I know I can't teach and preach like this in every church. But God has given us people here that think. And I got to think in church, and I know and I understand it. That's why I have to teach and preach the way I have. You know, I like to huff and holler and hung and moan, and I can't do it none of that stuff that well. But God knows exactly what I needed and what he needed me to be for a certain people. So there's a church for everybody. And if you're on that intellectual thing and you're on those things that, you know, this, you'd rather be, you know, taught and preached like this, this is where you want to be. I promise you, you ain't going to find nowhere else quite like this. You know, God gave me these gifts and these talents, and you know, and he had to, you know, I don't know why it took me so long to get it, and he just dawned on me and said, hey, Bo, you just don't go out here in the world. You know, y'all know God just blessed me. I want to teach in the world. Matter of fact, I'm the teacher of the year for the whole system right now. I'm one of them, right? It's 20 of us. So even the world has, verified my teaching. But now God had to get on me and say, Bo, I didn't give that for them. I gave it for them, meaning you, in the word of God. See, so even God has to do this. So all your gifts and talents, that God has a way for them in the kingdom. You just got to let your gift make room for you. So going on and saying, let me keep going. All right. So now what happens is, so now he's put what, the seed in, it said, and he go back to the word. He said, it shall bruise the head and thou shall bruise his heel. Hey, so what do we know? If you, you know, I'm a country boy. When you want to kill a snake, what you got to do? You got to crush his head. You can cut a snake in half. You can cut it, chop his body up and all this stuff. If you do not crush his head, you're going to have trouble on your hands. I've seen, on videos and stuff of people cutting the head off copperhead snakes. And copperhead and water moccasin here are some of the more poisonous snakes here in North Carolina, okay? And they'll cut the head off, and the head will just still be sitting there just pulsing. And for hours, they say it can almost do that for 6 hours, is what I read one time in a scientific journal. Somebody said it can do that for 6 hours. And still be deadly to you. See, some of you think, oh, you just cut the head off that thing, that is all right. No, God is telling you, crush it. That's revelation for somebody. That's speaking directly to somebody. Something that you've been dealing with, you cut the head off of it, but it's not dead. It can still harm you. You need to go back and completely crush it. What does crushing do? When you crush something, there's no going back. Woo! See, some of you got that Lot spirit, that Lot wife spirit. What was Lot's wife spirit? Lot's wife spirit, remember they told him that they were leaving, and he said, do not turn around. Oh, come on, somebody. He said, do not turn around. And what did Lot's wife do? She was so despised because she was so in love with where they were. What did she do? She looked over her shoulder, and the Bible says she turned into a pillar of salt. She turned into a pillar of salt because she looked back. Some of you, stop looking back. God has brought you out of that. Okay, you screwed up. You messed up. It's over. Stop looking over your shoulder. He has your back. You got to let that thing go. And that thing that you will not let go is what's keeping you from going forward. And then you want to say, God, I need this. God, I need that. Lord, why ain't this happening? And God is saying, look, I've already done it. I've already put it in your hand, but you will not let it go. That's a word for somebody. Let it go. Okay, so then what does he go on and say? So now he said, the bruise their head. So the bruising of the head here is to what? Crush the head. Mm-hmm. And then he says that what? Then he said, and thou shalt bruise his heel. His being what? Heel. We're going to speak to what this his speaks to here. So you notice his here is being what? H-I-S, little, lowercase. So it's a couple of different things that this has been interpreted. And you all know that I give you all what the theologian said, and I tell you that, and then you make the decision for yourself. You know, Safe House is not a church where I'm going to tell you this, 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 and this. I'm going to give you what the Word of God is. I'm going to give you the context, and now God has to give you the revelation. Why? Because once you get revelation and you see it for yourself, you see it and you know it for yourself, you won't be easily persuaded. See, I tell my students all the time, the key to teaching is this. One of the keys to teaching is to get people to understand things for themselves. And when they understand it for themselves, when you believe that you've got it and you've taught it to yourself, you don't easily let those things go. So this is how we're talking about getting the Word of God in your heart. Why? Because you got to experience it. Mm-hmm. So like I said, I provide those two pieces, but God has to get what? The revelation. Because spirit, revelation comes from where? The spirit. Nothing I've done. All I do is do it out, put it out there, and God takes the two together, and he makes, you know, what he wants out of it, and then it comes in your life, all right? So, bruise his heel. Now, let me switch speeds here for a second. Woo, I didn't hear today. Now, I was thinking as I was going in there, when God was giving me this message, and I was like, Lord, how did this message come, and where did it come from? You know, the last 2 weeks, I've been injuring my heel, the heel, my physical heel on my body, my right heel. You know, I was out and I was cutting my grass, and, you know, in one part of my yard, I pulled out a traditional lawn board to push it because there's some trenches there, right? And in those trenches, you know, I can't get my riding lawnmower. It's going to tilt over, or I'm too scared to be on it, or I'm going to damage my lawnmower. So in those, I push it. And with that, I had some boots, and I put on the boots to protect my feet because normally I cut grass in a pair of Crocs because I'm on the riding board. It doesn't bother me. I wear them most of the time now. That, you know, pandemic, I done picked up a new shoe that I like, and that's pretty much what I wear all the time now, right? And in that, so I had to put on these boots. And what I didn't do when I put the boots on, I didn't tie them all the way up. Now, I knew it was a reason why I didn't wear those boots, and I kind of forgot. And what the boots were doing was it was rubbing my heel. And by the time I got through cutting the grass, I noticed that I had injured my heel so much to the point that it had rubbed all the skin off my heel. So now I have raw skin being exposed. And the pain from that was like excruciating. I mean, it was hurting. And, you know, I washed it up and took care of it. And, you know, and I hopped around for a couple of days until my body got to the point that it healed itself. And I went on. And there was an attack on my heel. Okay. And then on yesterday, y'all know I'm a fisherman and I'm in the tournament fishing. And I went to a tournament in Charlotte, enjoyed myself, didn't catch any fish. Y'all got to pray for me so the pastor can get the right fish. You know, I caught a fish, but it was the wrong fish and whatever. But I had a good time. And as I was leaving, as I was preparing to put my kayak back on my truck and get ready to go to the place that we had to check in at and all this kind of stuff, it was some boats there, and me and this other guy was trying to get our boat. And it was this bigger boat there, and for whatever reason, he just took over the ramp, wouldn't let us out. And at this point, the waves are like throwing me all around. So much so that I can hear my boat hitting up against rocks, and I heard it crack, and I was like, oh no. So I immediately pull up my pants legs, and I jump out of the boat. Mm-hmm. And I jump onto the boat onto what? At the unbeknownst to me at the time, I knew it was rocks around, but I didn't know how sharp the rocks were. And at that point, because I'm in a state, I'm not in shock, but I'm in, you know, that fight mode, right? You know, you got to protect yourself. So, you know, I see my boat's taking on water because, like I said, they just throwing me all over the place. I can't go to the bank. It's rocks everywhere. I jump out the boat. I pull the plugs, and I'm in the water. And I notice I'm in the water maybe to my knees, so that's not a big deal, right? And at this point, you know, I'm not very happy about this. I'm very, actually quite upset about it because this guy knew exactly what was going on. And anyway, y'all pray for pastor. All right, so what happens is I get out. I get my boat out, and I get to the shore, and I notice that my heel started hurting. And I'm like, geez, what is going on? And I look down, and I see it just gushing with blood. But at this point, I got to get my boat out of the water. I got to get all this stuff. It's people. It's so many people there. You know, because we was out there really early in the morning, but we didn't get out till like 2 o'clock. And, you know, so I'm just trying to get my stuff out of here and get out of here because I'm upset, and now I'm injured. And as I get home, you know, after we left everything, I get home last night, and I go to look, and, yes, I got about a 2-inch gash right across my heel. So, yeah, I'm in pain this morning, right? And God just reminded me as I was riding down, coming back from Charlotte on yesterday, and he was telling me, he says, Peter, and I was thinking like this, the heel, and I'm like, Lord, you know, I still hadn't got, you know, I got some things together, but Lord, what is it that you want me to say to your people this day? And it just kept coming up, this theme of the heel. And I thought about this verse here, where he said, I'll put incense between the woman and thou see, and you shall bruise thy head, and thou shall what? Bruise his heel. And when I look at it, my heel, in the sense of the physical, is a very smaller part of my body. But if for it to be, but when it's injured, it does cause great pain to the entire body. However, the heel is a small part, a small price to pay to be able to crush the head of the enemy. Oh, come on, somebody. Are y'all with me this morning? The heel is a small price to pay to be able to crush the enemy. So we see here and we read here today that, number one, that they talk about the seed of a woman. They believe, theologians believe several different things here. Like, no, number one, that it's written in H-I-S, small h, that he is here being the seed, being you and I, that it was the seed of woman, that we are the seed of woman. And because of us, that God is going to use us to do what? That God is going to use us to go down and do what? To crush the enemy. Are you with me? That what? It was going to be through this redemption plan that he had set up, that you and I were going to crush the enemy by what? By giving our bodies as a living sacrifice, being holy and acceptable unto God, which is what? Our reasonable service, that we was going to go through this and we was going to take and walk therein. Are you with me? So this is what one set of theologians believe. Then there's another set, they believe that this right here is foreshadowing that speaks to the coming of Jesus Christ. So what, here now, what, God has already set forth the redemption plan in his punishment. Are y'all with me? That God has set forth the redemption plan even in his punishment. So here we know, number one, what we walk away with. Number one, that God is always forward thinking. He's forward thinking. You and I need to be forward thinking. If we're going to be the children of God, if we're going to do what God tells us to do, we need to always be thinking in the positive. We need to be thinking optimal. We need to be thinking forward, not behind. We know what happened when you think behind. We saw Lot's wife. She thought behind, and what happened? She was what? Crushed. She was turned into salt. So if you walk away with anything today, that what? As I walk from heel to healed, oh, come on, somebody. As I walk from the heel to the healed, that number one, to be able to walk in that process, I have to be walking forward. I need to be going forward in my walk. I need to be going forward in my talk. I need to be going forward in my presence. I need to be going forward in my decision making. I need to be going forward that I learn from things of my past, that I learn from others, that I learn from the open book test that others took and failed, and I go to them because they have the answers. That I am walking forward in this, and God is going to do this through what? Number two, the seed of a woman. He's going to do this through us, and he's doing this through us, that what? That's this redemption plan that he's pulling all together. And as you and I walk through this thing, as we talk through this thing, as we go through this thing called life, we suffer in a pandemic. Yes, we got these, but all these things are very little. All these things at the end of the day is just a little strike on your heel compared to what you're doing to the enemy. Oh, come on, somebody. See, some of us don't believe that the enemy is being defeated. Some of us don't believe that the enemy is going down. Why? Because we see others and it seems like they're winning when it seems like we're losing. It seems like they got things. It seems like things are working out for them. It seems like things are going together for them. It seems like they're winning. It seems like they're getting all the breaks. It seems like they're getting all the promotion. It seems like they're getting all the talent. It seems like all the things are falling in place for them. But I am reminded today that weeping endure for a night, but that joy comes in the morning. And because it comes in the morning, there's a period of darkness that you must go through. Oh, come on, somebody. And see, in that dark time is when God has pulled us together to cause us to get on our knees. And he calls us to get on our knees and on our face. Sometimes God has to allow some trouble and calamity to come into your life, because some of you wouldn't even pray if he didn't do so. Some of you wouldn't fast. Some of you wouldn't even talk to him if you was on an easy road. So God allows certain things to come into our life just to remind us that he's God, and to remind us that he has it all in his hand, to remind us that you don't get these things because of your own devices. It's not that because you're good, not because you're great, but it's because he is. And then God reminds us sometimes that he allowed things to happen just because, oh my God, he wants to show his glory. Just because he wants to show his power. Just because he wants to show his grace. Just because he wants to show his tenderness. He wants to show his compassion. He wants to show his love towards you and I. Because see, we in a world today that people see these things and they wonder, say, how can you serve a king like that? How can you serve a God like that? When I think about it in terms of eternity, a heel strike is a very small price to pay. See, I'm here to remind you today, brothers and sisters, that what you're going through right now is just a heel strike. And why is it bruised? Because you just hurt your heel because you've been crushing the head of the enemy. Oh, come on, somebody. When you're crushing the head of the enemy, what you expect him to do? He's going to fight back. He's going to fight back. If somebody was crushing your head, what are you going to do? You're going to fight back with everything in you, because you know your life is at stake. See, I don't know about you. If you ever seen a snake when it's gotten killed, the body just squirm and all this stuff. But once you know you got the head, you ain't got nothing else to worry about. Because see, once you get the head, you'll see the body will be jerking and all this stuff. That's just afterthought. See, sometimes, we see this stuff jerking over here. We see it seem like that's prospering. And we seem like the enemy's here. And it seems like, you know what I'm saying, he in the White House and he in the governor's mansion, he in the local politics. It seems like he even in the church. And all this may be true, but I'm here to tell you that his head is already being crushed. Oh, come on, somebody. And what you're seeing is just an afterthought. That's just a twitch of the muscle. Because it's already done. It's already done. He's already gone. And we have to remind ourselves, brother and sister, that God has already given us. He said that I'm not giving you the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love, power, and of a sound mind. Because the devil comes back with what? History. He comes with kill, steal, and destroy. Do you see? That's why they match. He gave you the three to combat history. Oh, are you getting this morning? That he gave you his three to combat history, that God has what? A solution to every single problem. That everything that Satan throws is what? Just a device or something. All we're thinking at is the after twitch. Because we already healed. We're going from heal to heal. And when we get done, it's all going to be done in glory. And when it gets done and when it gets said and done, that, you know what? I'm forward thinking. I'm forward in my thinking. Why? Because it's already done. It's already healed. See, some of us, we make decisions based on things that were done yesterday. I'm not going to buy this car. Let me bring in the content with context. Uh-huh. Now, the content, the car, here's the context. I'm not going to buy a, back then it was a Honda, I ain't going to pick on them. I ain't going to buy a certain kind of car. Say I ain't going to buy a Toyota, okay? I'm not going to buy this Toyota. Because when I bought this Toyota in 1985, it didn't do nothing but let me have problems. So now you're going to let not buy a Toyota you bought in 1985 that had problems not allow you to buy a 2020 Toyota when they're probably some of the best cars on the road ever. Things do change. I believe people change. I have to, because if not, I don't need to be in this business. Do you see what I'm saying? So things do change. And some of us allow things that happen to us in our past things that people said. People did things where they didn't know any better, and it didn't hurt. Yeah, it hurt. Yeah, they were out of context. Yeah, they was downright wrong. However, that cannot affect me going forward in my decision making. Yes, I didn't forget it. I understand. I know about it. But forward. See, if I was stuck where I was, I wouldn't even be doing what I'm doing now. I'm preaching on the internet. They used to tell us that the computer was the devil. Now, right now, it's the only way that many of us even getting any kind of worship right now because of where we in. Are you with me? So what if I stuck in that process? Then you wouldn't be able to be blessed with what God has given me to give you. Because this was Y2K. Mm-hmm. That this was the devil. Mm-hmm. Do you see what I'm saying? This was 666. All these things that people say and talk out of context, right? They had the content, wrong context. So number one, got to go forward. Know that what? God has chosen us. He said that the woman's seed, because it's a family feud. The devil hates you. Why you think the devil love you? Satan don't love you. He trying to be God. And if he can use you to do it, then he gonna do it. That's why I keep telling you, you do not belong to yourself anyway. I know people think you do not belong to yourself either way. It's just, who do you belong to? And the funny thing about this is that he actually gives you the right to choose your owner. See, most people who, as Paul says, I'm a slave to Christ. You know, but most people don't get to choose their owners. Most slavers, they don't get to choose who owns them. But you and I, because the God we serve is so good, he lets us choose freely. If you don't want to be with me, you go with him. Mm-hmm. And if you want to be with me, then this is what it's going to take for you to be with me. There are some conditions to you being with me. Because if you follow my conditions, then that means I'm required to protect you. Oh, come on, somebody. Did y'all catch that right there? If you follow my conditions, then I am required to protect you. Now, if you don't follow the conditions, then what? Now I'm not required to follow in on my end. Y'all remember the children's story, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? As a kid, you know, the original, that Johnny Depp one looked a little demonic to me. I can't watch that one. But the original one, right? With Gene Wilder and the kids. And remember they going through the chocolate factory and the whole point, see, Charlie didn't know. Charlie just grateful just to be there. Because Charlie was poor. He was just happy to be one of the number. Mm-hmm. And he goes through the whole thing and the man tells him not to do certain things. And at the end, they go through all this stuff. And a number of the kids, all these kids get eliminated from the competition. Because at the end, what they find out is that what? Mr. Wonka wants to give a chocolate factory to a deserving individual. And he takes Charlie and all his friends through all this stuff to see who would follow through, to see who had integrity. Oh, come on, get this. To see who had integrity, to see who had compassion, see who had a heart, to see who really cared. And at the end of this story, even though what? Charlie made some mistakes. Charlie made some mistakes. He and his grandpa was over there getting drunk. Remember that part? Over there burping and going to the ceiling like bubbles and stuff. And the man was all mad. So I had to re-clean the ceiling and all this stuff because you and your granddad want to have a drink. So, no, you don't deserve this. And what does Charlie do? Because Charlie had a heart. He said, well, okay, Mr. Wonka, you're right. I don't deserve this. Yes, Mr. Wonka, I screwed up. Yep, I own it. In fact, you're right. And I'm sorry. And here you go. He returns to him. What did he give him? Everlasting bubblegum. Now think about that for a second. Are y'all following the analogy here? Because we're the same way. This is exactly how Christ is for us. He gave him everlasting bubblegum. And what does he do? He returns it. Something that would have lasted him an eternity. He returns it out of his heart in that, I don't even deserve this because you're right, I screwed up. And what does Mr. Wonka do? He gets excited because he said, Charlie, my boy, you passed the final test. How many of you know that when God gave us his spirits, his everlasting Holy Ghost to live inside of us? Hey, y'all, I'm so excited. Woo! When he gave us the everlasting Holy Ghost to live inside of us, and he says, give me your life. That your life don't belong to you. And we come to say, okay, you're right. You know what, God? here you go. Here's my life. Here's my life. I don't deserve it. Yeah, Lord, here's my life. You're right. I've been living in sin. So here's my heart, God. And immediately when we give God his heart, God's saying, baby, you did it. Baby, you did it. You did it. You get it. And what does he do? He showers us, just like Charlie and Charlie. He goes in and says, Charlie, my boy, this was for you all along. Did we get through singing this morning that God is intentional? And if you remember Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, he was intentional. They said, he said, well, how did I find the golden ticket to be able to get access to even come in the beginning? And he said, I had my agent. Oh, come on. Remember the little creepy guy? Oh, come on, somebody. Y'all talk back to me. Remember the little creepy guy he had? And he was like, the creepy guy was always there. Why? Because he was watching over Charlie to make sure that Charlie got the golden ticket. I'm here to tell y'all today that God had, that God's got somebody in your life that's watching over you to make sure you get the golden ticket. Woo, y'all. He's got somebody. He's intentional. He knows exactly where you're going to be, where you're going to do, and he's trying to make sure that you get the golden ticket so that you get the right to show up, because he knows that you are the one, and he's just got to get you in the building and let you go through the test so that you can know for yourself that God, I don't deserve any of this, but it's because of your goodness and your grace and your mercy that I even have the opportunity to even be here, and yet you want to give me the kingdom. Hallelujah. Woo! If this don't get you excited, I don't know what else to tell you. I don't know what else to tell you, because God, just like he took Charlie through all that, and what does he do? He busts Charlie out through the elevator. And the elevator comes up whole countryside, and he's asking the man, he's telling him, he said, Bo, all this is yours. All this belongs to you. All this is for you. And what does God do when we call us up into the sky? When we are ratcheted up to meet him in the air, he's telling us that all of this is for you. All that you've been through, this was for you. All that I went through, this was for you. And I don't know what else I got to do to convince you, brothers and sisters, that this is for you. So as I walk from the hill, as I was bruised on my heel, that I'm going to be healed. And my healing is just a small thing in the context of eternity for what God has set up for you and I, because he's been very, very intentional. Oh, my goodness. He's been very intentional towards you. Oh, how many going from heel to heel this morning? Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you. How many of you going from heel to heel this morning? I'm going from heel to heel this morning because he's using my heel to crush the enemy's head. When he died on the cross and he laid out, that was his heel. Death was a small price to pay for you and I to be healed. The Bible said that what? By his stripes that we are healed. Why, the stripes of what? The things that he took for us when he was getting beat by the cat of nine tails. That was a small price to pay for what? For you and I to be healed. Oh, do you see a theme here, brothers and sisters? Do you get what I'm saying to you this morning, brothers and sisters? That we're going from the healed to the healed. We're going from the hill to the hill. Just like Charlie, all of this has been set up for you. All of this has been set up for you. And all he wants to know is, are you a person of pure in heart? Are you a person of pure integrity? He's not looking for perfection. He did that. But look at David. He wasn't looking for perfection in David. But what he looked for in David was a man after his own heart. For God to tell that David was a man after his own heart. David, the same one who murdered people. David, the same one who was a homemonger. David was the same one that was a fornicator and an adulterer. David, the same one who taking people's lives and all this kind of stuff. That same one. Yeah, that one. That one. Yes, that one. That's the one he's talking about. That one. I'm talking to you. He's talking about that one. That one that everybody wrote off. See, remember, if you remember the story, now I know y'all want to go back and see the old school Charlie and Charlie Fat. That thing powerful. Because, see, everybody wrote Charlie off. Charlie just old poor boy. He don't need nothing. Remember, the rich man, oh. See, the Bible even talk about what? The rich? Remember how the rich be trying to buy their way into heaven? Do y'all remember the rich man on the story? What is he going to do? He go buys his little daughter a ticket. She's just a brat. And you know what? In time, it proved to be that. And what did she do? She turned into a blueberry or something, I think, if I remember correctly. See, all these people who will start this race out with you. Mm-hmm. This is what the Bible said. The race is not given to the swift or to the strong. Now, I ain't going to misquote that because everybody said, you know, then what? But to he didn't do it to the end. We put those two scriptures together and that's fine. But don't let, it's not one scripture. It's two. Mm-hmm. So he goes on and he tells us this. That what? All these things work together. Because there will be people who are going to be trying to buy their way in, y'all. They are. They're going to be trying to get themselves in there. Yeah, they are. But God has got us. He's got our back. And if you don't walk away with anything else today, know this and know this well. Number one, we're walking from healed to healed. Yes, you're going to suffer some things on this life. You're going to get injured some. Your feelings are going to get hurt. Yes, somebody's going to say something about you. Yes, somebody's going to say something about you that's not true. Mm-hmm. Yes, they're going to call you a liar. They might even call you out of your name. They might call you an N. They might call you a B. But you know what they ain't going to call you? A Jesus believer, right? They're going to call you everything. As we used to say, they call you everything but a child of God. But notice that that's just a little trouble for a little while. That they're going to overlook you. Mm-hmm. They're going to get a promotion to somebody else. They're going to bless this one. They're going to bless that. When we already knew, and they knew in their heart that you were the answer. And they're going to walk all around this. Because what? They don't want to bless you. But at a point in time, God forces what? The Bible says, your enemies will be your footstool. Meaning that they're under your feet. How do you crush the heel, the enemy's head with your heel? That's because he's under your feet. And I have to remind you of that today. That what? It's through us, number two, through us that he's going to do this thing. It's through us that he's pulling it forward. It's through us that we're going to go. And lastly, but not least, but that in this, you're going to be healed. It's going to be healed. It's going to heal that wound. And you're going to look back over this and say, you know what? I was stuck in this, but Lord, thank you for taking me forward. Lord, I was lost on this, but thank you, Lord, for bringing me forward. Lord, thank you. Thank you for taking me out of this. Lord, I was stuck on my do-nothing stool. I was sitting in self-pity. I was sitting there thinking, why is me? And you remind me that promotion comes from God. That if I want you to have it, that you have the cattle on 1,000 hills. You know, that's been some blessings that I've gotten through this pandemic, y'all. Oh, my God. You know, some of this stuff is just not internet worthy. I can't even say it because some people would just be upset. But God's been good to Peter. He's been good to the safe house. And God has done some amazing things in the midst of a pandemic. If I can just tell you. People be jealous, I'm telling you. You know, we get together and we go have tea or something. Maybe I can tell you a couple of them. And I don't say that to boast or brag, but I boast in him. Because I knew it wasn't nothing that I did, but it was him and him alone. God bless you, brothers and sisters, as we walk from healed to healed on today. I hope that this has been a blessing to you, that you walked away with something that you didn't know before, that you walked away with more information, that you walked away with a made-up mind to say, okay, God, I get it. You was talking to me today. Lord, I get it, Lord Jesus. You want me to get it together. I get it, Lord, that, you know, Jesus, it's time for me to, you know, stop playing church and be the church. Oh, come on, somebody. That it's time for me to be the church and stop playing church. How many of you know you want him to fill your cup, Lord? If you would, real quickly, just raise your hand with me as I go into a prayer. I want to bless your prayer and ask the prayer of protection on you today before we go into our offering part of ourselves and get out of here. But I just feel, how many know you need to cup filled? That we come to church, we come together, what, to be filled. Hallelujah, Jesus. Be me till I want no more. Fill my cup. Oh Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning. Lord, I ask that this word to tell you, Lord, that you sent through us. Lord Jesus, that others may come, Lord Jesus, to know you and you know you in your power, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I say they be written upon the tables of that heart, Lord. You let them share, Lord. You let them send this to others, Lord. You to know, Lord, you that we are healed to heal, oh God. Lord, you that you allow us to go through these things, Lord. You didn't say that we wouldn't have trouble. That even in Job, you said that man's days are short and full of trouble, Lord. But that you said that you come that we might have life. And that we might have life more abundantly, Lord. Lord, you give us the knowledge, Lord Jesus. Give us the strength, Lord, you to walk forward, Lord Jesus, Lord. Lord, energize our faith, Lord. You activate our faith, oh God. And Lord, we thankful. Lord, we grateful, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, with all our heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit. And know that you're God and you're God alone. And besides you, there is no God. And I'm grateful, Lord, you're this Lord. Protect us, oh God. Keep us, Lord. Just that you heal my cousin, oh God. Continue to heal his body, Lord. You touch him from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, oh God. I ask that you bless him, Lord. She's like only you can, oh God. Lord, she's asked that you touch Sister Francis, I think it's her brother-in-law, oh God. Lord, I ask that you bless him, oh God, Lord. Keep him. Lord, she's asked that you touch Brother George, Lord Jesus, Lord. And touch Sister Francis, oh God. Lord Jesus, that, Lord, you, the pain, Lord, you, that they find their bodies in, oh God, Lord Jesus. Lord, subside the pain, oh God, Lord. You heal their bodies, oh God. Touch them right now from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, oh God. For you know all and you see all, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, and we praise your name. And we ask you to do all these things that others in the powerful name of Jesus. That name that no other name, Lord Jesus. All names shall bow down to that name and that authority in Jesus' name. Amen. For we know this and we know this to be true that we walk faith in this ministry has been a blessing to you on this day. I ask that you all would consider sowing into this ministry. These things are not done by free. You know, everything that comes into the safe house stays here in the safe house. As you see that we have Cash App, that Safe House Church GSO. Also, we have the PayPal, the paypal.me/ministryaid. Everything here goes to the aiding of the ministry and supporting this ministry as we go forward. And I'm just so grateful to all those who were able to join us here on this day. Hey, do us a favor, hit the share button. Share this with somebody else. There's somebody who needed to hear this tremendous word from God on today. For God is good and he's so worthy to be praised. And I'm so grateful. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Grateful, y'all. How many of you are grateful? Just grateful. Yes. Grateful to me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you. Yes, Lord. Yes, I'm just so grateful, and I'm so good. Y'all got me all sweaty and stuff. Y'all done made me all preaching hard in here today, but God is good, and I'm just so grateful to him. God bless you. I love you all. Hey, remember on Wednesday night, we'll be right back here at the Safe House Church. Hey, if you get an opportunity to come out, hang out with us. We go right into the Word of God. We go line by line, precept upon precept. We just teach the Word of God. We're in the book of James. We have created a Moodle site. I got a couple more touches to make on that. And what we're looking to do is that we're going to put all the videos and all the information and study guide on there. So literally, what you're going to be able to do is to log in. And we're going to have a platform. Oh, come on. It's going to be good. We're going to have a platform that you're going to be able to log into. And you can go back and look at this stuff at your leisure. So it's one place we can put everything together. So the money is not going to waste. Actually, I'm doing all the programming on this. This is not even going to cost us anything. But nonetheless, God is good, and I'm just grateful. You know, because there's so many wonderful resources out there on the internet, but sometimes people don't know what's a good source, what's a bad source, what's good. And it's not going to cost you anything. You just be able to log in, have your login, go in and take tests, and who knows, maybe we'll be pushing towards now. We can get certificates or something or whatever the case may be. But I'm just grateful, and I'm just grateful for that space. So God bless you all. I love you all. You all pray for my strength. And the Lord, that he continue to protect me and be a fence around me. I'm going to pray for yours, that he continue to protect you and be a fence around you also. While we go through this thing, that he's going to take us through it. Lord, watch over and keep us. Hold us in the palm of that hand. Lord, you bless us in not coming in and not going out. Be a fence around us on this week and others. Oh, God, strengthen us and keep us that we go forth and that we speak life and not death, Lord. And we ask you to do all these things to others in the powerful name of Jesus. For we know this thing, we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. God bless you all, brothers and sisters. I love you all. Until next time, take care. I want more of you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. Thank you.